Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days with me, not as always, because we've each been podcasting independent of each other, but with me today is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Well, you're giving yourself a lot of credit. You did one podcast that hasn't aired yet, but you did the Eagles.
Stop being annoying. Akiva, we haven't spun the wheel on the Ravens as we're recording this. So this might not be released for 2 weeks for all we know. So by the time people are hearing this, we might have done 17 podcasts without each other.
Yeah, but you probably will have done two of them is what I'm saying.
I've already done two and you've already done two and we may do many more.
Which two did you do?
Can we stop talking about things that happened way before this podcast was released?
Okay. Just fine. I won't spoil that the Spurs get invited back into the bubble and now lead the Lakers 3-0.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Stop being annoying. All right. So we're here today to talk about the Ravens. Baltimore Ravens, number 2 on our cumulative power rankings. But the Ravens, nobody of all our listeners had them ranked lower than 4. I had them ranked 3. You had them ranked 2, which is the cumulative ranking for the listeners as well. So we are very high on this team. And here to discuss the Baltimore Ravens is a listener, is a patron, is a Baltimorean. Is that accurate, Jeremy?
No, not accurate in the slightest.
Oh, not accurate. Okay, so first of all, Jeremy Wall, welcome to 32 Fans. How are you doing? And tell us why you're a Ravens fan.
I'm doing well. Why am I a Ravens fan? I started following the NFL 2008, was looking for a team. Something about the December game against Dallas, Ravens won, and near the end, Willis McGahee and LaRon McClain put up basically back-to-back drives with 80-yard touchdowns. 2008 was the first year for Joe Flacco and for John Arbaugh, so I thought it was a good time to jump on the train, and it's been pretty well since then.
And where did you grow up? Fan. Where were you living at the time? Like, you know, who did you abandon?
I didn't abandon anybody. I've lived in Winnipeg my whole life.
Okay, all right. So not a big Blue Bombers fan, I guess.
Well, yes, here and there.
All right, listen, if you're Canadian, I guess you have an excuse. You can adopt pretty much anyone you want. But if you were going to tell me, like, oh, no, I was living in Jacksonville, just, you know, the Jaguars suck, then that would be a little more questionable. Not that we want anybody to be a Jaguars fan, obviously. All right, so let's talk about, let's start at the top. Lamar Jackson coming off not just, obviously, his greatest season, but one of the greatest seasons in the history of the National Football League for any quarterback. I think it's fair to say that we just saw what will be the greatest season of Jackson's career. His 9% touchdown rate, you know, that's impossible. The highest touchdown rate in the Super Bowl era is 6%. So, you know, he's not going to be able to maintain that, obviously. The 1,200 rushing yards, also almost certainly unsustainable. Michael Vick, whose record he shattered by over 200 yards, after his 1,000-yard season, never even got 700. Randall Cunningham, who had 942 in 1990, never even had 550 after that. Russell Wilson, who had 842 in 2014, has otherwise never sniffed 600. RG3 obviously had 800 in his magical electric year and was never heard from again after that. Cam Newton has topped 700 three times, but has never hit 800. So in terms of bets for the Ravens, I would say that the over-under of 975 for Lamar Jackson's total at the end of the season, that to me is easy money. Put all your money on the under. But just because Lamar Jackson's not going to have, you know, the counting numbers that he had in 2019, doesn't mean that he can't improve and, you know, be an elite quarterback and improve, frankly, you know, if he can work on his accuracy and things like that, become an even better pocket passer. So tell us sort of what are the expectations for Ravens fans for Lamar Jackson in year three and year two as a full-time starter?
I think you hit it there. I think there's going to be some regression, of course, with the coming off of a season like that. Rushing, I don't know if I'd quite hit the under on the 975. You make a good point there, but I think in terms of expectations, other teams are going to have more film now. They're not flying under the radar as they were last year. It's going to be a little bit of a tougher road, I think. But I think as for expectations, there's no reason to expect anything less than a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so obviously the chink in the armor has been the first game playoff exit in each of his first two seasons. Is that just randomness and small sample size in two free games, or do you chalk something else up to why why the Ravens and Jackson lost in both of their playoff games?
I feel like it's a little too early to say there's a choking problem in the playoffs. A couple really badly timed off days so far.
Yeah, I think I did read, and Akiva, you're welcome to join this podcast anytime you'd like.
I'm enjoying. You're doing a good job.
I think I read that the total yards that the Ravens gained in the loss to Tennessee last year was the most in a playoff game for any team in like three seasons or something like that. So they were obviously moving the ball a lot. It's just that they had a bunch of turnovers and they had a couple of fourth down conversions that went the wrong way. And so it wasn't that the offense, you know, couldn't get anything going against Tennessee in the playoffs last year. And really it was the defense also that had some problems. Let's turn to the defense for a second, because this was a tremendous defense last year. Very, very aggressive. I mean, it's an aggressive team on both sides of the ball. I think they were one of the most aggressive teams in the league going for it on fourth down. But defensively, they were very aggressive, especially in the secondary. This is a team, they played a league low 815 snaps from their linebackers last year. So they would just load up with defensive backs and blitz the hell out of everybody. The 41% blitz rate, highest in the league last year. Humphrey, Peters, and Smith. Akiva, is there a better triumvirate of cornerbacks in the NFL than those three?
I'm trying to think. One of the funny things so far is every team I've sort of studied has been like, oh yeah, their cornerbacks stink. So I don't even have anything to compare it to. But I haven't deep dived all 32 teams yet. But that might be it.
Yeah, I mean, to get one good cornerback seems difficult for a lot of teams right now, mine included. And two, and then, I mean, this team has three great guys. And so, look, the secondary lost Tony Jefferson and Brandon Carr, but they're still stacked there. So, you know, tell us a little bit. Ozzie Newsome obviously retired. Talk, Jeremy, about how this team has managed to put together the roster that they have, especially, you know, how do they compile all those cornerbacks when it's such a limited market for most teams at this point?
You know, it's I guess you could just chalk it up to finding value where you can and making the moves that you need to build around that. You know, Baltimore has always been pretty defense focused, so they know where to make those moves. And you're talking about the secondary, but you know they've really made some moves to shore up the rest of their defense as well. The addition of Calais Campbell, they took Patrick Queen, inside linebacker, in the first round. You know, I think the defense, they did have some exits, but I think they should still be in good shape this year.
Yeah, they drafted Queen and Malik Harrison. So, you know, as I said, they played a league low in linebacking play last year. I guess they're hoping to increase that this year with the addition of Queen and Harrison. Calais Campbell, he's way too good of a player to be switching teams as frequently as he does. He's also a guy, he was a little bit of a late bloomer in Arizona, I think. You know, he wasn't a star at 22, but, you know, now on the other side of 30, he's become a real star. But he was really good there. He was really good in Jacksonville. And it's confusing to me why he keeps switching teams. But you got to assume that he'll be an upgrade on the line, I think, because they lost Michael Pierce, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and they also added Derek Wolfe. Matthew Judon, I think, got the franchise tag, so he's still there. He had a very strong year last year. Mm-hmm. You did lose, though, a future Hall of Famer in Marshall Yanda, who retired on the offensive line. DJ Fluker is supposed to replace him at guard. You know, his body of work has been inconsistent at best in the NFL. So last year, their offensive line was really, really good, which is what helped Jackson have a good season. It helped Mark Ingram have a career year, you know, at the age of 30. So tell us about, you know, does the loss of Yanda, like, is that a concern on the offensive line?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to have a bit of an impact. He had been there for, I don't even know how many years off the top of my head, but, you know, kind of was the core of that unit. It's going to be a hit, but I think they have enough tools around them that they can kind of keep it together, and it might be a little tougher making room for Lamar and for Mark Ingram, but should be able to get it done.
All right, so here are my Ravens takes. First of all, on paper, you know, forgetting about Lamar, the receiving core of Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, and Miles Boykin, if that was the Jets' receiving core, you'd be like, wow, they're screwed. Like, on paper, it's one of the least impressive receiving cores in the league. Like, yes, they have a quarterback who can throw bombs. But honestly, they did draft a couple guys, a mid-rounder and a late-rounder. But I'm certainly not sold on their receivers.
They had the second most tight end receptions in the league after Philly. Andrews is an elite tight end. Nick Boyle and Hayden Hurst are very good. And also, you know, they were getting a lot of receptions out of the backfield. And they have a running quarterback who runs a lot. So, yes, their receivers are not great. And, you know, but with Miles Boykin having an unimpressive rookie year, and Devin Duvernay obviously wasn't even there last year, they still won 13 games and, you know, had an MVP quarterback. So couldn't you make the opposite argument, Akiva, that if this team was this good with little from their receivers, then maybe they don't have only one. Although, look, Cam Newton went 15-1 and had an MVP season with no wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I'm just saying if this was like, if you switch these receivers for, you know, with the Giants receivers, like is the Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate group, that's probably better.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not like, and that's
well, so then maybe they'd go 16-0 and Lamar Jackson would have, you know, 42 touchdowns instead of 36.
Yeah, it's about, I'm just saying it's a bottom five receiving crew, in my opinion. All right, another take. So do you remember the Orlando Brown senior, you know, when he got hit in the eye by the penalty flag and his career ended? The ref accidentally hit him and then he pushed him down and got in trouble. It's just weird that, like, his son is now plays and plays for the same team after he, like, sued the league for $25 million
yeah, well, I mean, his career got ended by an errant.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't. Yeah. I'm just saying it's, like, ironic that he's playing for the same team and like, in the same situation after. I mean, obviously, it's a fluke injury. Like, there's much better reasons not to play football. Like, if your father had CTE, it's different than, like, the flukiest injury of all time. But I don't know. People don't talk about that he's, like, randomly on the same team playing the same position as his dad, who had, like, the craziest injury ever. It is really the most insane.
It's a nice story.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the end of your Ravens takes? That the receiver
sucked?
Yeah,
and I don't even – now I'm thinking, is that even his dad? Is that even his son? It's got to be, right? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know because
– Oh, his father passed also. I had forgotten about that. Orlando Brown Sr. did pass at the age of 40. All right. Great take, Akiva.
You going to go back to sleep, Akiva?
No. What do you mean? Nobody's responding. I was between 15 and 25 million, by the way. All right, let's play the schedule game because I want to see if we're going to have the Ravens as the one seed, the two seed, where we're going to have them in the, or at least where Jeremy's going to have them in the
AFC. Are we also doing the Chiefs schedule game? Because wouldn't that be relevant to this conversation?
No, we're not going to do the Chiefs schedule. We're not going to go week by week. We'll just say what the Chiefs schedule is going to be.
In defense of my co-host, it's 2 in the morning for him, and I think he's half asleep. So, all right.
Alex, what are you saying?
Not making any sense. You're like, let's find out what seeding they'll have by doing the schedule game. It's not in a vacuum. Unless Jeremy has them going 16-0, we have no idea what their seed is going to be based on.
All right, moron, it was a segue. Let's just see.
All right, fine. All right, Jeremy, week one at home against Cleveland.
I think that's a win.
Yeah. All right. Week two at Houston.
I got that chopped up to a win, too.
All right. Week three. What do you know? Monday Night Football against the Chiefs. Possible AFC championship preview.
Yeah, I knew this would be the one that you'd ask about. I think it's going to be tough, obviously. You know, you have the one and two teams in the AFC. I think that's pretty clear. I have them down for a loss right now.
So 2-1, and then in week four, you go at Washington.
I have that as a win.
All right. And then at home against the Bengals.
Should be a W.
All right, 4-1, and then you go at Philly in week six.
Another win.
And then at home against Pittsburgh in the last game before the bye.
I have that as a win, too.
All right, so 6-1, they're only lost to the Chiefs. Coming out of the bye, a couple of tough road games against possible playoff teams from the AFC. First at Indianapolis.
I think they can take Indianapolis.
All right, and then on Sunday Night Football, they go at New England.
Yeah, another tough matchup. You know, there's a lot of question marks about how Cam is going to do. I think New England's going to be tough, but I think the Ravens will have enough to get through New England.
All right, so 8-1, they come home the Sunday before Thanksgiving, possible revenge game against Tennessee. Last time they played at home against Tennessee, obviously in the divisional round, lost 28-12. What happens in week 11 this year?
I don't think they lose twice in a row to Tennessee. I think they can, you know, find their number this time. And
all right, so 9-1.
Get a win there. Yeah.
Maybe still in the conversation for the one seed. Remember, this year you only get a bye as the one seed. The two seed does not get a bye. So that loss to Kansas City hurts, but if you win all the other ones, it wouldn't hurt so much. Week 12, they go at Pittsburgh. Can they get the sweep against the Steelers? This is a Thursday night. This is a Thursday night game, so short rest on the road.
Yeah, it's a short week. You know, I think it's not every year that the Ravens can sweep the Steelers. I think they might take a loss on that week.
All right, so second loss. And then they have the back-to-back Thursday games. The next week, the Cowboys also on back-to-back Thursdays. Thursday Night Football.
I think they can go through the Cowboys at home. I have that as a win.
All right, so that's a win. And then they play at Cleveland on Monday night, so that's, I guess, 11 days break, and then they play the Browns for the second time.
Yeah, they start a easier stretch of the schedule. I think they can pull out a win against Cleveland there, too.
Yeah, and then, yeah, the last four games are really gimmies. You have Jacksonville and the Giants at home, and that they finish the season at Cincinnati. So are those all wins, or do you see one of those as a loss?
I think those are all pretty attainable.
All right, so 14-2. So I'm going to guess that with an over-under of 11.5, you're taking the over on the Baltimore Ravens.
I am smashing the over for 11.5, yeah.
All right, Keith, what about you?
11.5 is a high number. Again,
it's
like
the highest. Let's say, no one higher than
the Ravens. Is the Chiefs number 11 or 11.5?
No, the Chiefs are also 11.5, what I've seen. Yeah, those are the two teams at 11.5.
I mean, again, like, will Lamar play 16 games? You're betting obviously on yes if you're going over 11.5 because, you know, I'm not buying like if RG3 is going 3-0 or 2-1. One of the things I missed about not doing this for a couple of years is we've done a lot of these fans. We even talked to a lot of these fans already, Alex. Is the 80% optimism, and then the negative fans we get are usually like so pessimistic.
Well, it's Wiesel for the Giants every year. No, yeah. So what we used to do is we used to do the schedule game with all 32 fans, and then we would track the overall winning percentage because you know it should be 50%, but it would usually be like 70%. Yeah, because everybody's optimistic. That's the nature of the preseason.
Except usually like the New York fans and maybe like one or two random teams.
Yeah, but if you're a Ravens fan and you're coming off last season, at least for the regular season, you should be optimistic. I think the biggest concern, as you said, is can Lamar Jackson stay healthy? But if Lamar Jackson's healthy, they went 14-2 last year, and so it's going 14-2 again. That would be tough. Akiva, can you name the last team to win 14 games in consecutive seasons?
I'm gonna say, is it the 93-94 49ers? No, because they won 12 games the year they won the Super Bowl.
Yep, that is not correct.
Am I close? I don't think the Pats won 14 the year before or after they went 16-0.
No, so it is the Pats in 2003 and 2004.
Okay, so both Super Bowl years. Yeah, so they won Super Bowls 2 and 3.
So they won, and then it's happened two other times.
It was exactly 14, right? They won 14. They won 14.
They won 14-2 those 2 years. The 49ers did it in 1989 and 1990.
Okay.
And then the Bears did it in 85 and 86. Jeremy's prediction would make this the fourth time in history that a team wins 14 games at least in consecutive seasons. Yeah, so it's possible, but it's quite unlikely. Akiva, I'll make it a little bit easier. Can you name the last team to win 13-plus games in consecutive seasons?
Is it Peyton Manning Colts?
No, it's the Saints. They've done it the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, okay, the Saints have done it. Well, you know what's sad, though? Mm-hmm. You know what they haven't done?
They won a playoff game 2 years ago.
One playoff game, yeah.
They won one playoff game in 2018, and then, of course, they lost with the Cole Ruby Jones. And then last year was the Vikings. All right, so Jeremy, very positive. What is your prediction for the playoffs? Are you expecting? Obviously, you want this team and you have expectations to go to the Super Bowl. But is that your expectation? Gun to your head. If someone said, "What is the last game of this season for the Baltimore Ravens?" What would you say, right now?
Well, yeah, I think it comes down to health again. If Lamar is healthy with the team around him and the coaching and everything that they have going for them, I think that is a Super Bowl.
So does that mean that they avoid the Chiefs in the playoffs, or does it mean that they get revenge for the regular season loss?
No, I think I don't think you're not going to see the Chiefs in the AFC Championship with them.
By the way, the Chiefs have also won 13-plus the last 2 years, Akiva. So both the Chiefs and the Saints have done it.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this is a good. That is a good question for our fans. We should have started.
They won 12 plus. Sorry.
Will your team win the Super Bowl? Because Jeremy's saying yes. I would like to hear how. Like, I imagine, like, if we have a Chiefs fan, they'd probably say yes.
Yeah.
What other team? Like a Saints fan, would they be too beaten down to say yes? A Seahawks fan, I don't think would say. Like, I'm trying to think what other teams are going to answer a straight yes or no question.
Yeah, if you're asking somebody, does your team have a greater than 50% chance of winning the Super Bowl? I cannot believe anybody would say that except for Jeremy.
But it's like, are you predicting? It's no, because it's not greater. It's not a greater than 50% chance.
Well, yes, it is. Because if you're saying, are you predicting a Super Bowl
prediction? It's a plurality. Yeah. It could be 12%, Alex.
No. We're not saying. We're saying, will they win the Super Bowl?
No,
yes,
but we're saying
or no. But we're not asking him to pick a team.
Okay, no, that's we are.
Hold on, no, that's a different question.
Okay, fine, but that's the question. That's a very different question.
Okay, but that's
but it's a more interesting question.
No, but it's if those are two very different questions. Who's going to win the Super Bowl is very different than is your team going to win the Super Bowl? The latter one
what you,
is.
What do you think, Jeremy? What's a better question?
Well, but I won't.
You guys got me in a corner on that one.
He's a polite Canadian. He doesn't want to. He just doesn't want anyone to fight.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
should I feel? Are you a Winnipeg Jets fan, Jeremy?
Yeah, here and there.
Should we feel a kinship as fellow Jets fans? A la Mike Francesa with the New York Giants and San Francisco Giants hang out if they're ever in the same city.
We certainly could, yeah, yeah. The Jets, you know, more often than not in the 32 fans patron chat, there's a comment about the Jets, and I have to do a double take on each of those messages every time.
Alex, can you name one player on the Winnipeg Jets?
Ilya Kovalchuk when they were in Atlanta.
I thought you were going to say Teemu Selanne.
Let me ask you a question. How do you rank your teams across all the sports that you root for, Jeremy? Are the Ravens number one? Is it the Blue Bombers or the Jets or someone else ahead of them?
I probably follow NBA closest. Raptors are probably – I probably put the Raptors at the top. Probably put NFL and the Ravens next in my fandom. And then probably the Jets and NHL, followed by the Blue Jays and baseball. Bombers are a bit of an afterthought for me, to be quite honest.
If Toronto got an expansion team in the NFL, would you switch or you're loyal to the Ravens for life at this point?
I'd be open to it.
Let's switch to our...
It's hard to dive into that.
Let's do a little Raptors talk for a second. Again, no idea when this is being posted because we are relying on spinning a wheel. And so it could be tomorrow and it could be 2 weeks from now. The Raptors could be out of the playoffs by the time people are listening to this. Perhaps the Brooklyn Nets were just too much for them to overcome. But what is your prediction for the Raptors playoff performance in the bubble?
Rob Cesternino's Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
Exactly. You guys are gonna paint me as the world's biggest optimist here, but I don't see any reason they can't go all the way.
So they're gonna beat the Bucks. No. They're gonna beat the Lakers or Clippers.
Bucks have kind of looked like trash.
Well, I mean, they lost game one, but by the time we're saying this, they probably won the next four games by 40 points each.
I don't think they're losing in the first series.
All right, so Jeremy's prediction is that his beloved Raptors win two consecutive NBA titles, followed by his beloved
you'd be on top of the world
winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the Jets? The Jets are not still alive, right? I don't think they made the bubble, right?
No, they did not.
Okay, and the Blue Bombers this season is dead because the country refused to support. They support socialized medicine, but not socialized CFL. They would not pay. They would not pay for
that's a CFL. Right. Exactly.
Would we have gotten into CFL if there was no college football, Alex? If they were playing, I feel like we wouldn't have. Like, what would have to happen for you to become a big CFL fan, Alex? Let's say there was no sports. Like, we got into Aussie rules football. There was no sports. I'm still into it because my team's good. Your team's kind of trash.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. Like, if it was the only sport on, would you watch a CFL game? Not
yeah,
mocking.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. But I think that little one-point magic.
Jeremy, let me ask you another question while we're polling you on all your teams. As we're speaking, and again, who knows what it'll be by the time we record this podcast, the Blue Jays are half a game out of the playoffs in the American League. And they're half a game behind the Orioles, so at some point you have to figure we'll crash and burn. So do you predict the Blue Jays to make the playoffs?
Anything can happen. I don't know what's going on with this baseball season. I'm not super optimistic about it. But like I say, anything can happen.
It's really amazing, Akiva. If you look at the AL standings, and again, this could be totally worthless by the time this podcast comes out. Mm-hmm. There are seven teams whose playoff odds are greater than 85%.
Yeah, well, this is the AL last year also was
teams,
very top heavy.
Yeah, there's six teams whose playoff odds are greater than 96%.
Yeah,
so there's the six teams that are absolute locks to make the playoffs. And then the White Sox are currently in the seventh seed at 13-11 or 85%. And then the Blue Jays actually have the eighth best odds, but it drops to 31%. So Blue Jays, Orioles, Rangers, Angels, basically everybody who's not in the playoffs except for the Mariners are sort of fighting for that eighth spot and the chance to lose to the Yankees or Twins. But you know what? With the way the stupid rules are this year, you can you win two out of three and you've beaten the best team in the league and you're in the second round. So as Jeremy says, anything could happen. The Blue Jays could win the World Series right after the Raptors have won two in a row and then the Ravens. Boy, what a year it would be for Jeremy Wall.
Anything is possible, man.
Yeah.
Like my least favorite basketball player said. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. All right, Akiva, what else do we have for Jeremy? We've covered all
this. Well, I was thinking, we were talking about the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, so like you will look at a Blue Jays box score and you see all the sons of random Major League Baseball players. I was wondering if we could draft.
Random. Other than Bichette, they're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah, no, they're very good players, but I'm just saying it's funny that they're all in the same line. Can we draft?
To me, it's annoying that Tatis is not like, I think that all the Suns should have to be on one team. The Blue Jays should acquire all of them.
It's true. They should. Or trade everyone to the Padres.
Yeah.
And they'll really respect the game.
Get Yaz's grandson in there from the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. Yaz's grandson is like a 42-year-old rookie who has the highest OPS in baseball.
Well, he was great last year. Yeah, he was like 27 or whatever, but he was really good.
Yeah, he's literally older than Mike Trout, and this is his first full season.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to draft 90s NFL players who should have kids as juniors in the NFL. If we could do that for a second, Alex.
Okay. So the first round draft pick, because it'd be the third generation, has to be Ken Griffey the third.
No, NFL players. This is a football podcast.
Oh, NFL players.
Yes.
So we're saying guys who played in the NFL in the 90s who we would like to see their sons.
We'd like to see their sons, yeah.
Now, Jackie Slater played in the 90s, and his son, of course.
Jackie Slater's an 80s guy, really, I think.
Yeah, but he went into the early 90s.
No, we want guys who do not have players as
Yeah,
as
but far I guess my question is, do we want the son to play, like, the same position, or can they be any position?
They could be any position. You can switch it up.
All right. Walter Payton's son, Jared, obviously made the NFL.
Stop naming guys whose sons did play and they're not from the 90s.
All right, fine. So I will say I would love to see Emmitt Smith's son come in and be a star running back.
Okay, I feel like Emmitt Smith has a son who maybe was at Florida or Miami and didn't make the league. But that, so you want Emmitt Smith Jr. I don't know if he has a son his name, but that's a good call.
Yeah, Jeremy, pick.
Jeremy, do you have a player from the 90s who should have a kid in the NFL?
You guys are asking the wrong dude for 90s NFL
trivia.
Yeah,
that's true. He didn't.
Yeah, he became a fan in 2008. He said, "Jerry, were you born in the 1990s?"
Yes.
Okay. So you're.
But I've got a good one. I think I'm going to win this draft, Alex. Okay.
Okay.
I'd love to see a Cordell Stewart Jr., who's like, like a jacked up version of his dad.
Yeah.
Like better than Lamar.
Slash Jr.
Yeah, it was Super Slash. We call
Super
him.
Super Slash. Okay.
Come on, how good would that be, Super Slash?
Yeah, so Super Slash. But he's playing sort of a similar position. He's like a hybrid quarterback, kind of.
He's a quarterback, but you know, he's better than his dad essentially at running and like he's Patrick Mahomes with Lamar Jackson speed.
Oh, I have another one, a great one for Jeremy. Actually, I would love to see John Harbaugh, 90s quarterback, of course, for the Colts and the Bears. I'd like to see Jim Harbaugh's son be in the NFL, be the backup on the Ravens under Uncle John Harbaugh as coach.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
What do you think of that idea?
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I also have one for you. Gary Anderson Jr. becomes the Vikings kicker and screws up a lot of playoff opportunities for you.
I'm going to pass on that one. How come Joe Montana?
It is weird, right, that you don't see a lot of kicker sons, do you? These guys all go back. Those guys all went back to like Denmark and like didn't send their kids to the NFL or anything.
Name a kicker from Denmark other than Morten Andersen.
What's his name? The guy before him. He wasn't the first one.
Was Jan Stenerud from Denmark?
Yeah, he was certainly from Scandinavia, but I believe it was
somewhere in Scandinavia. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way,
bunch of them. There was some Akiva, weird ones.
We're recording this on August 19th. No idea when it's being produced. August 19th. No idea. Today is Morten Andersen's 60th birthday, so happy birthday, Morten Andersen.
Let's sing happy birthday to Morten Andersen. That's crazy.
In Danish?
Yeah, I don't know Danish.
There have been four NFL players born in Denmark. One of them is Morten Andersen.
Okay.
You can name any of the other three. I will Venmo you, without cheating, I will Venmo you $1,000 right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
It's ungettable. It's impossible.
All right, give me the names. I'm very sad. I could use $1,000.
In 1981, Hans Nielsen was a kicker for three games.
I don't know him.
In 1936 and 37, Wagner Jorgensen played 18 games as a center.
Larry David was not a fan of when Wagner was playing.
Wagner played for Brooklyn in 36 and 37. Started six games the following year for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if he's related or not, but the previous 2 years in 34 and 35, there was a tackle and also a kicker named Bud Jorgensen. Full name, Carl Ankaraverga Jorgensen.
Sure, everyone knows that guy.
Yeah. And he was a tackle for the Packers in 34 and then for the Eagles in 35.
Guys just switched teams a lot if they weren't really good back then. They just bounce around whoever would sign them.
Jeremy signed up for this, did not know he was getting a history of Danish football
Danish trivia. Have you ever been to Scandinavia, Jeremy?
I have not, no. This was very informative.
What's the best country you've ever visited besides the United States of America?
The best country? Well, besides the U.S., I'd have to go with the homer country like I have been on everything else, Canada.
Well, I mean, you're not really visiting when you're in Canada, unless, like, do you think you're visiting, though? Like, weren't you born there?
Yeah, I'm in Canada.
Okay, so Canada 1, U.S. 2, and there's no third.
By the way, I did Google how to say happy birthday in Danish for more.
Yeah, you say it.
If you were to directly translate happy birthday, it would be Gladelig Fodseldesag, but no
Should
one says.
Could we tweet at Morten Andersen? I think he's on Twitter. I don't think he has that many followers.
No one says that. The actual expression is
follower. Can you guess how many followers that Morten Andersen has
on Twitter? I'm gonna say he has 19,000.
Yeah. 6,200. Which is funny because he's been on. Pardon my take. He's been on the most popular sports podcast times. You don't get the balloons on Morten Andersen's page for his birthday like you do for most people when it's their birthday.
Does he list that it's his birthday on Twitter?
No, I guess not. I guess you have to list it for it to be for
maybe
it to
that's
be there.
Private. You got to be a real.
Oh, what was Morten Andersen's last tweet about?
I'm gonna guess that it has something to do with some kicking product that he's endorsed.
Not a bad guess. No, it was Don Shula passing. I guess he probably played.